This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just pray? Let's talk to Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you once again for a beautiful day like this. We thank you for that which you brought us, you know, this morning. You know, that you have taught us seed and harvest time. You have opened our hearts once again to the gravity of, you know, being your disciple. Once again, we ask you come to us in the name of Jesus. Once again, we ask you bless us once again. You cause your breath to come to us in the name of Jesus. You cause our eyes to be open. You cause our hearts to embrace, you know, the wineskin that heaven has made for this season. You know, you cause our feet to walk in the light of it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. This morning, we have come under the set man in this house, you know, Pastor Thompson Naima. I receive breath in the name of Jesus. I receive spirit in the name of Jesus. I receive help in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a community service, you know, and we're looking at Love Seed Discipleship Group. I'll be looking at discipleship this morning. Amen. God has us to make believers. No doubt about it, our journey starts as a believer. You know, what we call born again experience, you know, you come to a point basically that you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord. And that is even very, very funny. So actually, who you acknowledge? You acknowledge the Lord. But you start as a believer. And if you have acknowledged a Lord, that means that you are automatically to become a disciple. Because if he's your Lord, he's your master. So whom you acknowledge is the Lord. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, though your experience starts as a believer, but what's in the heart of the master is a disciple. And that's why he came to you as a Lord. He came to you as a what? As a Lord. So the beginning of your journey, so if you're not able to connect being a believer to being a disciple, then you have a problem. So that means that you're not able to transit really into what God or your Lord has in mind for you. Because he came to you as a master. And if you look through the scripture, that's the way it is. Let's take, for example, Jesus went preaching and he told Peter, trust a father a little bit for me. You know, when I look at those guys, the way those guys made the decision, I keep wondering, how did they able to do it? It's like those guys jump being a believer automatically. You know, how many of you will say, you meet a man and he'll tell you, today I'll make you fisher of men. And you'll follow him. He didn't call your wife. He didn't call your husband. He didn't call your father or your mother. You just follow him. Jesus Christ went preaching. And to show the kind of heart we should have in this season. And he entered into one of the sheep, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would trust out a little from the land. Now, remember, these guys are businessmen. And they were not young men. They were not young men. They have families. They have children. They have matter of this life to attend to. In other words, they live in our generation. They have school fees to pay. They have house rent to pay. They have money they need to sell to parents. They have community fees to pay. They even need to build a house. They need to buy cars. They need to raise businesses. So we see Simon, who basically what trust her a little for. He said, pray him that he would trust us a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Next verse. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, because you can take this one as Simon's engagement to becoming a believer. Yeah, he's a Jew. He's under the law of Moses. He's been following God. But a believer in the New Testament era, this is where his own journey started. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And he let down the net. You know, when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Then when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. What do you say? O Lord. That I'm a sinful man, what? O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they are taking. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, say, fear not. He said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their sheep to the land, they forsook all. And what? Followed him. So that means that in the day of Jesus, the beginning of your conversion, you actually have intent for discipleship. That's what it means. Everything is in here. But you see, in our own generation, you can be a believer for many years. You can die as a believer. I never crossed your mind that you ought to be a disciple. But James, John, Andrew, Peter, those their generation, you know, their believer experience brought that. There's a knowing that they must be a disciple. Because they said, Lord. Another word for Lord is master. And, you know, we all watch, you know, this Chinese film. That's the best place to know the definition of a master. You know, American film doesn't show master. They show bows, right? Yeah, but Chinese film, they show master. What you have watched there is what they want to do to you. Because when you come to a master, you come because you have a need. Maybe you've been on the street, there's one guy that used to beat you blue-black. Maybe he has beaten your elder brother. He beat your father. He beat everybody in your lineage. I can't face this guy. If I face this guy, I'm gone. Then you now go and look for a master, a terrible master, that you go to him. When you even come to him, you say, go away, I don't want you. You will go. You will come back again. He will kick you with his leg. You will do everything possible to get into that dragnet of discipleship. Even when they bring you in and they'll be cleaning floor, you will clean floor. Why? Because that guy knows basically that if he's not discipled, he cannot take on his enemy. And why you're a disciple is that you must be able to take up your enemy. Because where God enlisted you is for you to be able to take up your enemy. So a believer cannot take up the enemy. He's just a believer. You know, the best he will do basically is what? Exercise the name of Jesus. He can do miracle. He can do signs and wonder. You can go on the streets, you know. You can even convert other believers to Jesus. The project where they have called you for God, the purpose of your calling, you can't do it. Because God or Jesus has set it to be that you must be within a what? A community. Say community. Community. Say, I love discipleship. Discipleship. Say, I love discipleship. Because if that young guy does not love discipleship, he can't be following the master. The master kicks him. Sometimes they will throw him over the fence. Other disciples will ridicule him, use him for anything. But he says, look, me, oh, I must be a disciple. That should be our estate. That should be our heart posture. Because Peter has shown us here that, look, at birth, I should have an inclination of what? Discipleship. He called him Lord. In other words, you are my master. You know, and right from that day on, he followed his master. Another account actually said that Andrew was a disciple of John and he found Peter. Some of them also actually know what disciples should look at in a shade. Because John had disciples. The scripture further told us that Paul came across disciple of what? Of John. They say Apollo was also a disciple of what? Of John. Even in the nation Israel, actually the people you call Pharisee and Sadducee, they are disciples. You know, there's anything like Pharisee and Sadducee in the law. Have you ever thought they emerge? The Sadducee are disciples of the sect of the what? Of the Levite. The Pharisee, they are scribes. So in the midst of those systems, people were being discipled. Now imagine when a Pharisee or Sadducee meets you on the road and you are engaging you with the law. Can you stand? So a disciple must be able to withstand a Sadducee and a Pharisee. And it happened in the scripture. His name is Stephen. Have you ever read that account of Stephen? I always imagine how they could pair Stephen and Paul together. Stephen's account, he took the gospel from the scratch and he ended it. That's a man that was serving table. In the rank of discipleship, they are still low. But Stephen can face a whole Sanhedrin.
You know what they're surrendering? It's like they brought you to the court of the Chief Justice of Nigeria and said, come and talk. So if you actually look in the nation Israel, discipleship is a norm and people understood it. So for us, we have seen that the intent of God right from the beginning, when you become a believer, is that actually you must be a disciple. The wineskin capable of preserving and carrying the wine of the New Testament doctrine from the milk of the word to the doctrine of Christ and of God is the wineskin of discipleship. So what's a wineskin? In Israel, you know how you make a wineskin? A wineskin is a container that contains wine. You take a whole animal, you skin it whole, then you sew it back. You take a whole lamb, you skin it whole. The way they skin an animal, that man, they need to pray. You understand? You skin it whole. You now sew it back. It becomes a bag. You soak the leg. You now pour the content into it. Then you now sew it again. That's a wineskin. So that means that a wineskin has content in it. And it has content it must deliver. A wineskin is not a wineskin if it cannot contain something. So the way heaven has orchestrated you and I to inherit the mysteries, to become what God has in mind, the way heaven has orchestrated for you and I, that if I'm going to be planting seed and I'm going to be harvesting the same, is a discipleship work environment. In other words, I cannot sow well. And if I cannot sow well, I cannot reap well. Have you ever thought that why was Jesus Christ so much speaking in parables? And he said something, he said, the parable I'm speaking to you, you disciple, you should understand it. And those disciples unlocked so many truths. Those parables unlocked so many truths that if a man walk by them, he will arrive where? But believers can't see them. Then the disciple will come to him. Then he will explain to them what the parable means. So that means between a believer and a disciple, there's a big gap. And that gap is what? Understanding. It's sight. It's knowing what to do and how to arrive where you want to arrive. Two different set of people. There are many people that had Jesus in his day. Many people took miracles. They went. But the one that stayed, we can tell their story. So Lost Sea Church has a wineskin. Wineskin is what? A discipleship what? Group or community which you and I must settle into. And why must you settle into it? Because it's the medium. Is the arrangement that we ensure what our father and our mother in the house are teaching that you can apply it. The truth is that Christianity is not a religion. I'm sure you've known that now. You have promised yourself many times, I'm not going to get angry, isn't it? Have you not promised, I'm not going to get angry? Didn't you get angry again? That's the truth that Christianity is not a religion. Religion is that you keep promising. Religion is that you keep trying to do things by. But God has ordained a path that if you follow that path, you will stop getting angry. That's the truth. And those parts, you are going to see it what? In a discipleship what environment. So a wineskin contains content. And that content, you are meant to drink it. When you drink that content, it's meant to give you a sense. Because every wine must give you a sense. Why do you drink wine? In the natural world, why do people drink wine? It gives you a sense. It's to help you to what? To go away or walk away from troubles that are troubling you. So wineskin is meant for that. So when they bring you into a wineskin of a community, tell yourself, I will sit down there. And I will drink. Because when I drink, I can drink away everything that is troubling me. So wineskin of discipleship, we must agree to, you know, to embrace it. You know, and discipleship coined out of the word called discipline, you know, is a two-way. You know, a discipline is a profession. But that profession also disciplines you, trains you. You can have a discipline called profession and you are not in that profession. But when you have a profession and you are disciplined by that profession, then you are a what? A disciple of that profession. So discipleship is actually to make you that what? Your vocation. You know, we are in vocation. Your vocation. The vocation that you have been called into, you are able to what? To live it. Jesus did not command the apostles to raise converts or congregants. He commanded them to make disciples of all nations. The commission was given to the disciples. Matthew 28. Thank you. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He said, help the people to learn me. So that means that in a discipleship community, I will learn. I'm not just there to while away time. I'm not just coming because I must come by 5 o'clock and leave by 7 o'clock. The intention is that what? You must learn. And who are you learning? You must learn your master. Say, believe in me. You also know that apart from your first level of believing, believing is a continuous thing. Because when you got born again, in me, you believe. In Christ, you will believe. In the Son of God, you will believe. Even the angels are believing. He said, Satan, he said, what? Believe and what? He trembles. So that means that even say, when you cross to the other side, you will see what? Believe. In the disciple community, what I've not yet believing, or where my believing is still shaking, there will be stability to it. Because you see people that are ahead of you. Take, for example, somebody came to Jesus. He said, my brother offended me, and I should forgive him. This 7 times. Jesus said, no. It's 70 times 7. Now, what they are helping that disciple to do is what? Is to strengthen his belief. Because you believe that, okay, once he just offend me, I can't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I am fine. But the intent of God for that disciple is that what? Is him they want to change. God wants to change him. It's not the other person God is interested in. Now, if he has misinterpreted that truth, what happens to him? He can never come into the estate. So he will keep doing 7-level forgiveness and will believe that what? He's following Jesus. But mind you, God is saying, look, you must keep forgiving your brother until you yourself you are forgiven. Because the eye was on you. The eye was not on the other person. So help people to learn me, believe in me, and obey my words. So that means I'm going to learn, I'm going to believe, and I'm also going to what? Obey his words. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You know, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. One of the things that discipleship community should do to you is to keep you under. Say, keep me under. The baptism we did, you know, the natural baptism, says a shadow, right? But you know that you are still within that baptism. You are still kept in that baptism. When Jesus was using this word, baptism was not a new word to an Israelite. That portico or that porch where people went to sit down, that they were looking for miracle and healing, is meant for baptism. So Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make believers. Go and make disciples. Disciples have attributes, they have character, they have how they look when you are discipled. You know? So we must all migrate from being believers. Say, we must all migrate from being believers to being disciples. Say, I must migrate from being a believer to being a disciple. Right, 2 Timothy 2:2. Say the things. Now, say the doctrine. Now, do you know the same seed time and harvest time that they gave to Noah? They preceded it with rain. Before that time, there was no rain. So that means that your seed time and harvest time that you must do, rain must be available. You must use truth in it. Because what Noah actually brought upon the earth was a new civilization, was a new economy for God to reach man. So God is not saying, look, you have no excuse. Rain is available. You can control and speed up your own harvest. Jesus came here, did in what? 33 and a half years. He went away. Remember, Adam and Eve may not do in 33 and a half years. But Jesus came here. Why? Rain is available. So God has brought you to church. He has added you to church where there will be rain. Now those rain that will be coming to you, God wants you to use them. If you go back in the same scripture, Genesis, they were planted before rain came. Actually, the early plant did not need sun. After the first day, let there be light, which was not physical. The second level was basically firmament. After the firmament was the plant. After the plant, then you have the stars, the sun, the lights, and the lights of the season. So that means basically that the early days have their own technology. Now, the technology for your day is rain must be converted to what? To what can make your seed grow and can bring you harvest. And where God is going to do that, say, in the discipleship. So the things, that the doctrine, the precepts, the admonition, thank you, the sum of my ministry, which you have heard me teach, is entrust as a treasure to reliable and faithful men who will also be able, capable, and qualified to teach others. Now, if you yourself have not been discipled, there's no way you can transfer it. You transfer what you hold, what you have. Imagine in a discipleship group, they take you by your hand. They take you for an outreach ministry. You saw them lay hand. People receive Holy Ghost. You know, some of us cannot even baptize people Holy Ghost. When you say, oh yeah, bros, come and baptize you, you run away. You always think that is something so big. But if you stay in an environment that they're baptizing people with the Holy Ghost, and when you believe in Greece, you baptize the Holy Ghost, you move. So you can't communicate to another, or you can't transfer a knowledge or a lifestyle that you yourself have not been what? Discipled in. You yourself was being that crucible, that rain, and that content. Then after that experience, you can duplicate it. Natural man says you can't give what you don't have. There's nobody that is not baptized with Holy Ghost that can baptize anybody with Holy Ghost. If you don't have Holy Ghost, you can't baptize anybody with Holy Ghost. That's the truth. But when they baptize with Holy Ghost, you have the passage to baptize anybody. So discipleship community or discipleship windscreen has a capacity to replicate us. Has a capacity to what? To duplicate us. Has a capacity to have 100 Pastor Thompson. Because that's what Paul did. Imagine Paul didn't do that. What will happen to the church? Paul just left the scene. You know, all those marauders, all those terrible guys that came to invade church, what would happen to Christianity? You know, you and I will not have all those epistles. There won't be a single epistle for us to read. See, Christianity is not different from family. You got born into a family, you don't know anything. But you're a member of that family. All your life, in that family, you're being discipled. It's not a curriculum, but you're being discipled. They disciple your taste, your outlook, the way you speak, where you go, what you like. You know, they shape you. One of the things that makes the church or the work of God to move faster is discipleship. If not, we just remain a sect. We just remain in our parlor. We just be a little people. You know, if you look at the book of Revelation, what did they say? Multitude. Multitude. But at present, can you say we are multitude that listen to this word? That in this water? We can count ourselves. If we do a census, we know our number. But God doesn't want us to know our number. He said multitude. So if multitude are going to be in this water, you must not be discipled. So Paul said, look, you can commit to order. That technology exists. And that technology is in the church. Now, if the word can do that, you know what the word did in called education? Is that different? They do research. They find a breakthrough. They bring it to the classroom. You know, people that know it, they what? They teach other people. And people that are taught also what? They also grow up, they use it, they teach other people. At a time, maybe there was only one professor in the whole world. The professor took other people. You understand? That was the way it is. You have philosopher in those days. You know, and they multiply themselves. The same thing also applies that we can commit to other people what we ourselves what have embodied. So you must see yourself without eyes. Stop seeing yourself as just a believer. I know Jesus. He's my savior. I come to church. I am fine. You must see yourself as what? I'm a disciple. I'll be discipled. And when I'm discipled, I will disciple others. Discipleship captures the true DNA of God's kingdom. It is God's ordained process for integrating us fully into the inheritance of life within the Godhead. So that means that I can't come into the full inheritance of what God has offered if I am not discipled. What's the DNA? A DNA carries what? Nature, character, attributes. Every shade of what the Godhead wants to give you is in what? Is in a DNA. So discipleship captures the true DNA. So where basically they can actually give you that true DNA is that you must be a disciple. In the New Testament, we are called to raise disciples who grow into sons of God. Pattern after the Son, Christ, the head of the church. Sonship cannot be discussed where true discipleship is absent. He said, I want to be a son of God. He said, we are the sons of God. The test to know whether you are arriving at sonship is that they ask, are you in a disciple class? Are you being discipled? Once that is taken out of the way, then your chance of being a son of God is not true. So the litmus test for all of us is that what? Am I in a discipleship class? Have I been discipled? So if I want to be a true son of God, I must be discipled. Discipleship is not optional. What is option? MCQ, right? What is the size of Nigeria? A, 200 kilometers. B, 400 kilometers. C, 2 kilometers. D, none of the above. Jesus Christ didn't give the 12 the option. Now they give thee what? The two or the three and the one, the option. And also the early church did not give even the early church the option. Because the Bible recorded basically that what? After they had met in Solomon's portico, they went to what? Houses. And they were what? They continued in fellowship. And they were what? They were breaking bread. So you can't say that what? I have a choice. When you say you have a choice, you're only saying basically that I cannot be a son of God. It's like saying to your parent, I have a choice to grow or not to grow. Or I have a choice whether to have basic education. Imagine a child in our generation, I say, what? I don't want to go to school. He didn't attend primary school. He didn't attend primary school. How will he fit into this world? How will he fit? Can he fit? How will he fit? He's going to have a lot of struggle. He's going to have a lot of struggle. Just to do 1 + 1 is hard. To exchange money is hard. So discipleship is essential for the Lord to receive the precious fruit of the earth. Nurture through both the former and the latter rain. If you want to come, you know, to the full estate, seed must be planted. When you plant seed, between seed and fruit is a gap. I have plants around my house. You ask yourself, what happens? You planted 4 seeds. They come out with different heights. They come out with different size in terms of fatness. They even fruit in different time. You planted them the same day. Rain fell on the same seed. The sun shined on the same seed. Warmth, seasons, you know, Passover. You know, ask yourself, what differentiated them? Now, the Lord can make provision for you to be in a disciple environment. And you can refuse to grow. That's the truth. You can refuse to change. Just like the way Daddy said to us this morning, every one of us will find seed daily. How do you convert that seed? At least first germinate. Because your seed must germinate. And when it germinates, you understand, it must bring flower and it must bring fruit. And that pathway, let's be realistic, oh, the truth is that if you don't know it, you don't know it. The things that pastor know to move from A to B, he learned it over time. And he has used it over time. And he can tell you over time, if you move from A to B, I can tell you how to come from A to B. It's like saying that you're the first time you're driving. They said drive to Ibadan. The road is straight. You might not get there. That's the truth. Because that's why that the road is straight. There are many things on the road that you are not aware of. You suddenly came across traffic at Ogiri. You don't know what to do. Those Danfo drivers, they move on one side. They know where the traffic ends. They've come out. They are going. So you must follow what? Who know road? Say that's discipleship. That's the way he walks. You must follow who know road. The disciple followed Jesus. He took them out daily. He just saw Jesus praying. This guy's prayer is different from our prayer. We've been praying, you know, we go to a temple. But this guy, when he pray, something is different about his prayer. They approach him and say, Master, teach us how to pray. Do you know that some of us don't know how to pray in this church? I'm just trying to make you see that discipleship is a must. It's not optional. He said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Master, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray. And the prayer he taught them, he was not giving them what to say or to replicate. He taught them what the content of prayer is. What the purpose of prayer is. What prayer must deliver to you. Kingdom, forgiveness of debt. That's what prayer must deliver to you. People have been praying, you know. They never knew that prayer must deliver to them kingdom. And deliver to them change. Because that was that Lord prayer taught. Say, forgive us our debts. As he forgives those who have debt against us. Introduce them to Father. Introduce them to heaven. Introduce them to everything. A master how to teach a disciple or his disciple how to pray. And when he taught them how to pray, when he was gone, they knew how to pray. Did they not pray? At least they first prayed for 40 days, waiting for the Holy Ghost. When they catch one of them again, one has died. The second one, when they caught him, he said, oh boy, this one too will go. Next time it will be you. Oh boy, let's gather and pray. And they prayed. Now, I'm just saying that discipleship is not optional. And discipleship shows you the pathway to move from A to B. And what I want to know from move from A to B. My journey is shorter. You know, disciple makes your journey shorter. I think for each other, you'll be moving all around, moving all around, moving all around. But the truth is that when you find a right discipleship environment, It will cut it short. Why? Because you'll be empowered. You'll be strengthened. Discipleship is essential for the Lord to receive the precious fruit of the earth, mature through both the former and the latter rain. Without discipleship, we cannot become like our master. Discipleship is the school that's shaping us into his likeness. You know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They're giving us two elements here. Say continue.
Continue.
Now, the environment that heaven has made for you and I to continue his word is a discipleship group. You continue. Because what's going to be taught in those environments are not different from what's being taught in church. They're just going further broken down. For it makes me simpler, practical, usable. Like what we were taught this morning, seed time and harvest time. I want to see how usable it is. I must be able to practice it and bring it to use. You know, I can say I planted this seed. And you can come and say what? I've harvested the same seed, you know, before the year ran out. That means that you can mark your progress. Because when you know when you plant the seed, you should know when the seed comes to what? To fruitfulness. So you continue, you know, and you continue what? You continue with truth. Because when you don't know truth, you can't be free. One of the things that church was made for us to be free. And you must be free indeed. What's indeed freedom? Indeed freedom is that as it is, so I am. So I shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make me free. God wants us to be free. You must be free from, you know, sowing into the earth of flesh. I must be free. I must know where to sow. I know the truth. I will know where to sow. The truth is that what we don't know, you can't really do it. Now, if I know what anger takes away from me, let's say I have a spirit meter, and they just show me every time I get angry, I reduce. I get angry again, I reduce again. I get angry again, I reduce again. And they are showing you bottom line, say perishing. Say perishing. Say perishing. Now, you start from 30, you're already 5 to perishing. What will you do? What will you do? You will stop. So if you continue in my word, are you my disciple? So a disciple is he that continues in Jesus' word. And Jesus' word are what? Are trimmed down to us by doctrine. And the doctrine that trimmed down to us are meant to actually what? Give us truth that can set us free. You cannot be a co-laborer with God if you are not a disciple. The truth is that, first of all, you must labor for your soul. Say labor for your soul.
Labor for your soul.
You must be first partaker of the seed you are sowing. Discipleship group or class is not just for you to be able to parrot what is being taught or to demonstrate to others what you are learning. Before being a co-laborer, you must labor for yourself first. That's why we said earlier on, you must be free indeed. So if you cannot be a co-laborer with God, if you are not discipled, the first thing is that I must first of all be discipled myself. Because discipleship, you understand, will mean that I will embody the labor. Then you cannot be co-laborer with God. You know, God does not entrust souls to those who have not first been disciples, you know, been shaped and grounded through discipleship. So why God wants us in discipleship community is that God wants harvest. God wants harvest. That's the truth. The world has been sitting in one position for a long time. You've been in this cycle for a long time. Earth must be visited. And earth must be visited with you and I. So if I want to be a co-laborer with God, I must take discipleship serious. You know, because if you don't enlist your soul first, you cannot enlist others. It is through abiding in his word and following his teaching that we grow to reflect him more and more. So discipleship class is actually to give you what? Say image and likeness. You know, when you labor, labor not for me that perisheth. Seed to harvest time is labor. Say labor.
Labor.
You know a seed labor? You don't agree with me? When you put a seed in the soil, it fights to survive. You actually buried it. You actually killed it. You actually was saying what? I want to exterminate your life. But that same seed, the life in it, agrees to live. Because he knows that he has the truth that can make it live. So against warmth, against darkness, against pest, do you understand? He desires to live. And most seed actually get to that place. They do live. So the truth is that you, first of us, you and I, we must collaborate with God first to what? For our own soul. When I am, you know, being labored over and I also have received that which God wants me to become, then I can be a what? A co-laborer with Jesus. If you look at the disciples, this is their journey. Have you asked yourself, what made Peter bold? Peter met the guy that he cut his ear at the palace of the priest. Peter caught somebody here in the garden with boldness. But when he came to the palace, he denied him. He even denied the occurrence of the action. He said, I didn't cut your ear. It's not me that cut you. How can it be me? I don't know you. But they said something. He said, they know that this guy has been with Jesus. He said, your speech betray you. Again, when they took Peter and John, they brought them to Sir Andre. They said, this guy has been with Jesus. So that means that discipleship environment actually make us look like our master. Discipleship program is a vital program established in the New Testament church, and every believer should commit to it wholeheartedly. Say commit. It is not enough to be born again. We must also become disciples so that we can learn to truly serve God. And you know, serving God is not just doing work for God externally. Service is what builds you up. You know, when you are serving God, you're actually raising yourself. Any soul that is not grounded in discipleship is at risk of being lost in the sense of arriving as a master rather than what? Remaining a humble learner. So the truth is that if you are not a disciple, you can't continue with the level of the decay that is in society. I'm a believer. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I come to church. I read my Bible. I pay my tithes. I give offering. I support mission. But the truth is that it does not stop your perishing. The truth is that a day will come, you won't feel like coming to church. Because the architecture that actually saved you, we saw that in the beginning, didn't program you to remain as a believer. It actually programmed you to be a what? A disciple. So when you stay in an environment too long, it's like saying that the children of Israel are moving the wilderness to another camp. You say you want to stay behind. You know, something will happen to you that will erode the faith that you have. So the belief that you have, God said, will be eroded away. So you're a believer. Why? Because you've done the born-again experience. You know, but you're not moving forward. You are not taking step. You know, a day will come, you doubt that what? Being believing. So the first step is that we believe. Then we continue steadfastly with what? You know, with the Lord. So if I believe, you know, there are many people in the Bible that actually believe. Let me give you an example of a believer in the scripture who basically have to transit. Was it Simeon who was actually wrought miracles? Was it signs and wonders? To tell you how your understanding instruction of disciple will look like, don't move into discipleship. Now, this guy got born again too. You know he got born again. And he was following Peter. But his definition of thing was not straight. Then he got to a point and said, what? You guys, come, let's do a deal. I have £2,000 here. Just Holy Ghost laying of hand. Which basically, in reality, he has it. If he's baptized with Holy Ghost. In reality, Simeon can baptize someone with Holy Ghost. But his perception, transition, you understand? He needed a separate environment for him to transit. Acts 8:18. And when Simeon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? Money. Saying, give me also this power, that whosoever I lay my hands upon, he also shall receive the Holy Ghost. We see Simeon here, who basically is a believer, but his definition of things were not right. He has not been discipled. And this kind of guy will lose his faith if he's not discipled. He will be lost. Because things that will make him to lost is already with him. He won't show off. He lost money. Things that will make him to be lost is already with him. Now, this same guy, by the time Peter, John takes this guy and disciple him, then you see how beautiful he will become. Because what he was even offering money for, God has made provision for him. So we just look at who is not a disciple. We have emphasized the truth that discipleship is not optional. You know, Jesus did it with the 12. He did it with the 3. He said there are levels of discipleship. He did it with 1. And if you look at it really, the one he did it with, have you asked yourself, when they were raising someone at the beautiful gate, John was there. But John didn't say anything. John was not preeminent. But John was there. And mind you, the same John that you saw there was not a quiet guy. He was part of the Sons of Thunder. So that means that within that 12 discipleship, same one different level of discipleship. That's why he was a young guy. I believe that guy was cooked. You know, he was cooked. So even in the day of Jesus, to show that he was cooked, he's the only one that can say, this is the Lord. Peter could not say, this is the Lord. The other could not say, this is the Lord. But he still said, this is the Lord. That's the level of discipleship. He could identify, no, he's the master. So within that caucus also, within the 12, their discipleship was a different strata. So the 12 years, and that's why he could take the three. Have you ever asked, is that Jesus just loved the guy that he's putting his head on his head? Is it because he's just a young boy? No. There's something in that guy that was pulling things in Jesus. Someone who merely prayed the sinner's prayer and bear the tag of Christian, there's a vast difference between a convert and a disciple. We have established that. The truth is that if you're a convert, if you're a believer, you are not a disciple. What makes you a disciple is that you have choose to follow. You have choose to lay down your life. You have choose to continue. You have choose to be taught. You know, you have choose to learn. You know that there's a difference between where you are and where you should be. That clarity makes you to say, look, I want to be a disciple. We are showing it for in the Chinese boy. The guy knows that they will kill him in the next few months if he doesn't follow a master that will train him how to deliver his enemy. That's the reality. Someone who attends church services, conferences, and programs is not a disciple. The fact that you are in church, you are added to the church, does not mean you're a disciple. They added you to church. They've added you now. The Bible said they added you. Thank heaven that they've added you. But the fact that you are added, you are not a disciple. Because there are things that define who a disciple is. So someone who merely morally, uprightly disciples go beyond being moral behavior. You know, I don't lie. I don't cheat. I'm a straightforward person. What differentiates discipleship is that the provision of Jesus must be the one that must what? Cure you. You know, the master must provide for your need. It's not that, no. In our family, we don't lie. We praise God. You are still not a disciple. And you can't sit on the throne. Everyone out there who say they are morally upright, tell them they can't sit on the throne. They don't have the nature of Jesus. And the truth is that they are only just constrained. When you put pressure, they will crack. The pressure is not just enough. When it's enough, you will crack. There is Ephesians 4:20 to 24. You know, you must learn. If so, that you have what? Heard him. Say, heard him. Say, I've been taught by him that the truth is in Jesus. So that means that you need truth to cure your defect. And you must learn that truth. And you must learn its application. So it is when you have seen truth, you have used that truth, and it's not profitable to you, then we can say, yes, you are morally upright. So any morally uprightness is not that you're a disciple. You can't say, no, my father has discipled me. In my house, we don't steal. No, that's not discipleship. Discipleship that you must learn of Christ. Say, learn. And say, you must use to say truth. That will not help us to put off. Someone knowledgeable in scripture or trained in Bible school is not a disciple. You can cause from Genesis to Revelation. You went to a theological school. Say Pharisee. Say Sadducee. Say they are in this bracket. Say they are not disciples of Jesus. They came to Jesus with so many scriptures. Hello? They tend to them with principles in the law. They know the law and they keep bringing it. And Jesus keeps telling that you guys are devils. Quotation does not mean that you're a disciple. Someone gifted, anointed, and active in ministry, say miracle worker. Say, if I raise the dead, I'm not a disciple. You can raise the dead and you're not a disciple. Because the power you're operating is what? Is delegated. But the one that wants to make you a disciple was the one that was residing in you. God wants an edifice. You know, there's a difference between Jesus doing miracle and you doing miracle. There's a difference. You use delegated authority. He is using his what? His own entity. Two different expressions. You are using what he has become to do miracle. He is using what he is. He said, my father, what? That is in me, that dwell in me, dwell what? The works. So the fact that you are gifted, you have see vision, you know, you can interpret vision, you can give tongues, you can move mountain. Does not mean that you're a disciple. Disciples are not known by gifts or miracles, but by what? Say fruit. Say by fruit. Say by their fruit, we shall know them. That's why you can do miracle and outside they say, is that not Brother Jide? He's a thief. But he does miracle. So the name of the Lord is what? Being blasphemed. So God wants to take away that blasphemy. How will he do it? You put it in the what? In the disciples community. And that is our community, they will treat your what? They treat your defects. Your soul will be transformed. Then you cannot say what? You are going through discipleship class. Moral uprightness, someone knowledgeable in scripture, someone gifted, you know, does not mean basically that you're a disciple. You are not discipled yet. What makes you a disciple is that disciple is not merely mentorship. The fact that you come, nor is it done from a distance. I'm guiding you on how to get to where you are going to. You know, because we can't take the place of spirit from discipleship. What God is interested in is not that you are just close. What God is interested in is that you are just attending. What God is interested in is not that you are just, you know, you are being informed. So, discipleship is not mere mentorship, nor is it done from a distance. You say, follow.
Follow.
Now, how do you follow someone? Online? On Instagram? On WhatsApp? How do you follow someone? Because following our generation has been what? Redefined. We don't follow by electronic medium. We don't follow by social media. So you can't say, my own disciple is on Instagram. Jesus only do that kind of discipleship. Say you must walk with your master. Say you must observe your master. You must observe his life. You must learn directly from him. The disciple of Jesus saw him cast out demons, witnessed his work firsthand, also us, and they asked him questions when they needed understanding. True discipleship involved proximity, observation, instruction, clarity, learning by working closely what with the master. So the guy that is a Chinese guy who basically wants to beat his enemy, he didn't stay in his house. Carried his tool. If he's living in Ketu, he left Kebu and came to what? He came to Ojodubega. And when he got to Ojodubega, he came to look for what? His master. And his master put him through what? Processes that's going to what? Alter his life. So we must know that discipleship is not just mere mentorship. It's not just, I'm following someone. Say face to face. Say eye to eye. Yeah, that's discipleship. Eye to eyeball. Eyeball to eyeball. Say, you can touch your master. Yeah, that's how I walk. So mentorship, mentor. They can mentor you online. I can stay in my house and I have a mentor that is in Canada, isn't it? And the world system will accept it. In the scripture, in the household of faith, in love, see, discipleship, you know, happens within the community that has been earmarked by what? By the church. In other words, you can't call your discipleship and say, I'm going to do discipleship online today. I'm not coming, sir. I'm feeling sick. Your disciple say what? Come with your sickness. You do what? And when you come, they will ask you to lead prayer. Yeah. You know why? You know, you must love hardness. When you come, they ask to lead prayer. Then when they ask to lead prayer, you're already murmuring. Then you remember harvest time. You say, ah, oh boy, Jekori Ekpeo. I don't want to sow something else here. You lead the prayer. So the truth is that proximity is where discipleship happens. It's never online. And I said earlier, you can't call your disciple and say, I'm going to join online today. There's no online provision. If they say you should come sick, you come sick. If they ask you to come tired, you come tired. When you get there will be provision for your body. And when you come, we say that they might say, okay, can you just give us a word of exhortation? That's how disciples are raised. Finally, Jesus Christ went upon a mountain. Before he went on the mountain, he sent them out first. He said, oh yeah, go. You guys go everywhere. Go and eat the sick, whatever. Do everything. They went. They were happy. No problem. He just went somewhere. They brought somebody to him. They tried. All of them were trying. Nothing happened. You don't know that disciple class? That discipleship. Did you know that Jesus didn't know that it's going to happen? He knew. He set them up. Said, this guy, they need to move a step further. So he brought the one they've never dealt with before. And when they did, nothing happened. Everybody humble. But the same disciple, after Jesus left, did not do more work. Say, shadow of Peter.
Shadow of Peter.
Peter that could not help the lunatic. The same Peter is just walking. People are getting up. That's our story. Can you put your hands into the heaven and talk to Jesus? That I will be a disciple. I'm committed to discipleship. I will not faint on the road. I will not murmur. Because my change is sure. Because heaven is going to help me. Talk to Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you pray? That I will be committed to my discipleship. I'll be a steward of this grace and system that God has put in place to help me to be able to raise me to be like our Lord. Thank you, Son of God. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. I want to quickly show us something that when Pastor Peter said you can be a church and you're not a disciple, it's true. In the book of Mark 9, from verse 31, Jesus taught his disciples, and he taught his disciples, and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him. But everybody does not know this, but he taught his disciples. And they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. They don't know that saying, and we are afraid to ask him. So there's always disciples who were asking. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you dispute among yourself, by the way? So sometimes disciples, they dispute among yourself. So disciples, there must be interaction between themselves. We can't do that in the church when we come together like this. They dispute, they ask questions among themselves. And they heard their peace, for by the way they have disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last, and the second of all. And he took a child and set in the midst of them. And when he had taken in his arm, he said unto them, whatsoever shall I receive one of this child in my name, receive me. And whatsoever shall receive me, receive not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed us not. But he was using the name of Jesus and cast out demon. And the demon was going out. Because what you need to cast out demon is just to believe. They shall follow those who believe in my name. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Go back to that Mark 9 that we are reading. So he said, we saw a man. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed us not. So this one was casting out devils, but he was not following. He was not part of those who follow. And John answered him, saying, we forbid him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus answered, forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a miracle in my name that can likely speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whatsoever shall give you a cup of water to drink my name, because you belong to Christ. Who is a disciple? They belong. They belong. You can be a believer. That won't be that you belong. Because Christ cannot instruct you if you don't belong to him. As a pastor, I can't instruct you something. I know you're a church member. But when you're not being a disciple, there are something that I cannot demand from you. If I demand from you, I'm an unjust man. Joker does not demand things from people that are not disciples. We saw that the time I told them they go to eat his flesh and his blood, they ran away. The people that remain were disciples. So discipleship is a thing to show that you belong. You belong. You can be coming to church, but you don't belong. And there's nothing bad. You can be following online. It's good to follow online. All those are following us, and it's praise God. You are not a disciple. If you say I'm a disciple, Pastor Thompson, you are not. You can even speak like me, but you are not. You can call scripture, do everything, but you're not. Those is those who belong. Because I belong to Christ. And everyone that belongs to Christ must be a disciple. He must belong. So they can give a cup of water to those who belong to Christ. He said, those who are not against us, they are for us. They will likely not esteem us. So those kind of God, I can use the name of Joker. If he's a disciple, he will give him water to drink. He said they will have their reward, but they do not belong to me. So discipleship is those who belong. That's why all of us must enroll in being part of this disciple. You're not a disciple for a man, but you're a disciple of Christ. I would be a liar if I have not been discipled to. Also for harvest, discipleship group is harvest. Another thing, what God used to produce harvest in our life is our family, our homes. We must know what God expects in our homes. Our home is also a very critical thing. And also, one thing we're going to see, discipleship is a lifetime thing. They disciple you from time to time. you graduate in your discipleship. You graduate. When I say graduate, you move, they move you higher. You can be disciples or after, but they disciple you higher. Even me, I'm still a disciple. I'm a disciple. So you graduate your discipleship. When you disciple, then you mature. They also allow you to disciple some people. Then some people will be discipling you for higher work in the spirit. You are more accountable to higher things. So we grow in our discipleship. At the time you grow, then we do that to our children. When you have raised your firstborn, you have 5 children. When you are going out, they started leaving my younger ones to me at the age of 8 and 10. My parents, when they're going out. But if you try that in abroad, they go to prison. Even you can't even send a 16-year-old person, you can't leave them in UK in the house. America, you can do that, but they don't allow that in UK. You want to not be a parent, you discipline them. You beat them because maybe they are messing up. They report you when they come and they will also come and discipline you for discipline them when they were away. And you are just a 10-year-old person that they told put 5 years old and 7 years to take care of. A 10-year-old child. So that's how discipleship is. You grow up, they commit younger one. That what you have mastered, teach it to these people. Then you are come under strong disciples that will train you for higher work in the spirit. When you learn that one, those ones that you have trained, they also be mature. They bring them to disciple. That's how they come. So, discipleship is the system of the kingdom. It's a system of the kingdom. And it's a structure of New Testament. You will never learn New Testament. New Testament is not by impartation. New Testament is submitting yourself into discipleship. For you to inherit the New Testament spirit is when you come under it and you are learned. It's a system. So, discipleship is the system of the kingdom that they use to transmit you into the kingdom of God. If you deny discipleship, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Because he designed it. Joker was the one that designed it. Nobody that will enter the kingdom of God without passing through the system that he designed. It's a system of the kingdom. And it's a system of those who want to inherit New Testament spirit. It's not by impartation. It's by learning. Submitting yourself to it.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lovesyouchurch.org. Or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.